At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
Accelerate to attack speed.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
The Force is strong in this one.
Welcome. We're back
for another episode of Remnants of the Rebellion.
Remnants of the Rebellion, a Star Wars podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
And we, of course, are from TrustMeI'mAJedi.com and the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is our still new, it's still in infant form. This new Star Wars podcast that we've decided to bring to you. If you listen to the last episode, you know it came about from a year of talking and our Journey of the Force Awakens shows. People liked them last year, so we said, let's do a Star Wars podcast, and definitely. Here it is.
There's definitely a lot of Star Wars to go around, especially since, you know, we've got like a whole theme park, pretty much.
Practically.
Yeah.
So, as I mentioned, you can find the podcast at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. You can also follow us on iTunes. We share our RSS feed with Rebel Radio because it just makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
And so you can find both shows there and through Stitcher if you're on Android. And we are now posting shows on SoundCloud. We just started with the last episode of Rebel Radio and the first episode of Remnants. So SoundCloud's a big thing. People like to use it for their listening to music, discovering new bands, and it's becoming a platform now for podcasters to use.
Oh, yeah.
So we have put our shows on SoundCloud for people to find them. And it is at soundcloud.com/TrustMeI'mAJediOfficial. I have to put a link up on the page. I haven't done that yet, but we will soon. And we also are going to be, after the first of the year, starting a Patreon page. I decided, if you listen to Rebel Radio, I mentioned that we're going to start a Patreon page on there. But I'm holding off the launch till after Christmas, because right now people are busy holidays. I'm not going to ask them to donate to our show, you know? So, and plus, we're trying to come up with some ideas for some cool awards for people to get if they donate.
Oh, definitely.
So look for our Patreon page in January or February. And so anyway, this is Remnants of the Rebellion. We hope you enjoyed the first episode where we discussed the Shadows of the Empire project from 1996. And the idea behind Remnants is that we look back on times in Star Wars history and moments, and we revisit them, whether it's popular video games, popular comics, or what have you. And we also deal with other Star Wars things. And before we get a little further, today's show is going to be a survival guide to Rogue One. And it's not just Rogue One, the film that's coming out. It's also, like, what would you need to survive in the Star Wars universe if you were at war?
Definitely.
We're going to have some fun with it and talk about that in a few. But, you know, have you been watching Star Wars Rebels this season?
I have not. And it's like, shame on me, because I really liked how it ended on the cliffhanger, and I need to pick up from where it left off.
You do. I've been watching it, and people have knocked this season some, saying it's not as good, but I have a feeling that the season is unfolding to something really grand, and we have to let it see how it plays out. And I'm a couple episodes behind, but I was hoping you'd watch it, just because a couple weeks ago, I know you're a fan of like Sith and bad guys and Mandalorians.
Heck yeah.
And they had a really great episode with Sabine and her former Mandalorian culture, and it was really cool. And I was watching that the other day, and I thought about you. I was like, man, Matt would really like this episode. So you need to get caught up on it. And Star Wars Rebels is really great. A lot of Star Wars fans have dismissed it, thinking it's a cartoon, it's for kids. But really, if you haven't given the show a chance, really sit down and watch it. It's really well done. Disney has done a great job with it. It's still Dave Filoni, who did the fantastic Clone Wars cartoon. He came over with Disney when the buyout happened, and he's still producing Star Wars cartoons. And Rebels is really great. And all the rumors out there, people say it's going to tie in with Rogue One. If you pay attention to things, no, it's not. It clearly takes place 3 or 4 years before Rogue One takes place. Rebels is kind of in the middle of Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope, where Rogue One is obviously maybe a few months to a year before A New Hope. We don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
And Rebels is more a few years before that. You know, we had an episode where Princess Leia was in it, and she was a teenager, so obviously this is a few years before then.
Yeah, they establish a good timeline, and it is for adults, because you see all these comic books and, adult-like action figures that come out, you know, those specialty ones that you sometimes see from, like, Marvel Ultimates and stuff like that. It's like, it is for adults, and they're trying to tie it in and let people know that it's not just for your kids' entertainment, even though they have all these children's merchandising. But the story's awesome. I mean, Kanan's, you know, awesome, and trying to see what's going to happen with Ezra is cool.
That's a great thing. They've created some really cool characters in Rebels that have become popular in the canon already, like you said, with Kanan and Ezra, and even Sabine. Zeb, he's growing on me. A great new droid in Chopper. You know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, Star Wars Rebels, it's something we will probably eventually do, a nice episode dedicated to Star Wars cartoons. But I wanted to mention Rebels, just like I said, I was thinking about you, Matt, but not in that kind of way.
Not in that kind of way. But in a Star Wars kind of way.
So, last time on the show, the first episode, we kind of introduced ourselves to each other, and we're going to continue to kind of do that and ask each other different questions and stuff. And I think I know the answer to my question today that you're going to ask, but, you know, there's been a lot of Star Wars books and comics out there, and do you have a favorite story that you would like to see made into an animated film, or if you had your dream choice of a Star Wars story? I have a feeling you're going to say Dark Empire when Luke turns evil.
Yes, yes, Dark Empire when Luke turns evil. Even Mark Hamill has said he wants to see, he said it a long time ago, but he said he would like to see an evil Luke. Luke turning to the dark side. He thought it would be cool. And that's actually, you know, we talked about rumors earlier. That's actually where the rumor that he could be Kylo Ren speculated, you know, before the movie came out, which, of course, I agree with you now. It would have ruined the whole story.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's just such a cool, series. It's like, you know, whenever Obi-Wan and Yoda say, you know, there is another, or we have another, they're talking about Leia, and Leia steps up and uses the Force, brings her brother back, and they defeat a resurrected Emperor. So, you know, Luke and Leia, you know, defeat him without having their father, you know, throw him down a shaft, saying, no!
Yeah, I think Dark Empire would be a good choice. I have to pick, and I'm going on a limb. I think it would work really cool as like an anime or animation style film. I really like the Crimson Empire stuff they did. They did a three different miniseries where it features the Royal Guard and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a shout out to
Brian.
My friend Brian, yeah. Who, by the way, he asked me this morning, he goes, hey man, you can let people know I got accepted now. So he was begging me for a shout out. I told you he's a scruffy nerf herder.
Yeah.
But Brian got accepted into the 501st. Congratulations to him.
And his cosplay looks
and
awesome.
He is a Imperial Red Guard cosplayer. And I'm not picking the Crimson Empire series just for Brian, but I did like that series. I always thought, man, this would be like a cool animated style series for Star Wars to see how the Royal Guards worked and the way they protected the Empire and everything.
And I think that's more likely if they do branch out and start making some of these non-canon cast-offs as canon again.
Well... Oh, yeah. Well, you know, in news this week, Kathleen Kennedy, producer of the Star Wars films, at first we thought we were just getting a new trilogy and three standalone films. Now it seems like they have plans for years. She threw hints in one of the interviews that a lot's going to happen, like more spinoffs, possibly a third trilogy, rumors that they've been told by the standalone script writers to not touch Obi-Wan yet because they have plans for Obi-Wan, so we may get more Obi-Wan.
Wow.
So who knows?
Ewan McGregor comes back.
Who knows? And Ewan McGregor said he's been open to coming back. So who knows what we're going to get? I would love Disney to take the animation department and do some one-off Star Wars films based on non-canon stuff. How cool would the Heir to the Empire trilogy be with Admiral Thrawn and all that? Even though it's Legends now, it's not canon, it would be freaking cool. We talked about last episode, an animated Shadows of the Empire. That would be great.
That would be cool.
So what did you say when the show started that Star Wars, you said something about it being open book or something like that. I done forgot what you said 5 minutes ago.
I just think there's so many possibilities with Star Wars. I mean, we have there. It's expanded so much now, and I don't see it shrinking. I don't see it stopping.
And I think that's why we started a Star Wars podcast. Is it felt like the right time. We're lifelong Star Wars fans. Mm-hmm. It's not that by no means bandwagoners at all. Anyone who knows me knows I've loved Star Wars as soon as I could walk. I was born the year before the film came out, and but I think that it just feels like the right time. As Star Wars is growing and growing and growing, it's only going to get bigger. And we hope you can go on this journey with us, enjoy Remnants of the Rebellion. So do you have a question to ask me? I'm putting you on the spot. I know I didn't text you saying, hey, come up with a question.
if you could change one thing in this last film that came out, what would you change?
That's it, and that's an interesting question, because our next episode might be a look back on Force Awakens. So this could be a preview of that show. Of well, if I could change one thing in the Force Awakens, the easy thing would be to say to not let Han die, because I really hate that. But honestly, maybe the one thing I would have had is, I know people may disagree with me because it keeps the mystery, but have Luke say something.
Yes.
Just one word, like, where did you get that? When he hands her the lightsaber. You don't have to do anything more than that. I think if he said a line like, where did you get that, would not have taken away from anything. You know? I think it would have been worse if he would have said, who are you, or hello. But I just, man, it's like, you're waiting 2.5 hours of this really good film, and it's like, that's it? You know?
Yeah, they're having a blinking contest.
Yeah, and that might be the one thing I would change. Have Luke say something, and I don't think it would have taken away from the drama of the moment. I think the drama of the moment becomes silly, and people make fun of it because it seems like they stare at each other forever. You know? It was almost like he should have just showed Luke and kept it on his face and fade to black, you know? Mm-hmm. But instead, you have him and Rey go back and forth like, who's going to blink first? I'm going to blink first. I'm going to blink, you know? But that might be the one thing. Other than that, like I said, we may talk about our revisit to Force Awakens in the next show. I really don't have a lot of issues with The Force Awakens.
No, and you know what? I was with a group of guys, and you know, it was at work, and I don't see these guys anymore, but they tried to say that the last Star Wars movie was bad, and I'm like, why was it bad? Like, really? You're thinking like Obi-Wan, you know, then you're truly lost.
I wonder, did they see the real Last Star Wars movie, or they're thinking back to 2005 when they saw the prequels? You know?
Yeah, maybe they saw Revenge of the Sith or something, and they're like, oh, that wasn't that great.
You know, people still, even today, get confused by the numbering. I've had people still come up to me and go, why is it called Episode 4? And, you know, people don't understand that, you know, and that's okay. I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't get it either. I thought it was just like some cool thing George did to make it have a number on it. I didn't really know for years, you know. Mm-hmm. I was a little boy. I didn't know. So good question. So we will continue to have a Star Wars question of the show where we ask each other. So you get to know us a little bit, you know.
A little bit. Just little tidbits.
And, so you know who the real Mark and Matt are. All right, well, let's get into things. We're not going to talk about Carrie Fisher and Harrison Ford's affair. Yes, that's been in the Star Wars news lately, but no.
And I guess more came going on.
Yeah. Then I guess more came out today. The book is actually released. There's like excerpts in there where she says she wishes it would have been Mark instead and all this. Like, good Lord, who cares? You know, one thing I've decided, Hollywood, I appreciate what they do. We obviously love movies and stuff, but you can't get caught up in the personal lives that they do. They're going to do what they do. Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck's going to divorce Jennifer Garner. Tom Cruise is going to sleep around on Nicole Kidman. Whatever. It's just going to happen. It's the way Hollywood is. Yep. You can't take it personally. There's us mundane people, and then there's Hollywood. They're on a different plane. Who cares who they fuck, who they sleep with, who they blow? It doesn't matter. I think Jack Nicholson said it best, the reason he never got married. He goes, this is Hollywood. You can't get married because you won't have any life. He said something. I'm paraphrasing big time. I know Jack Nicholson one time said a reason why he never got married. He realized you can't be a Hollywood star and get married. It just doesn't work.
Nope.
And there are a few exceptions to the rule, but it's rare. But anyway. So other than that, there hasn't been a lot of other Star Wars news. Rogue One tickets went on sale. Apparently they crashed a lot of servers. I'm a bad Star Wars fan. I haven't bought mine yet. But people, you got to understand, I've got two little kids, a wife who's pregnant. We're having a third kid. We got to work out details of when exactly we're going, what theater. But I will probably get mine this weekend or in the next few days. And I'll see it Friday night. I don't have to go see it Thursday. The night it opens, I'm okay with waiting 24 hours, just a movie. So I know you got your tickets. So.
Yeah, I got mine for Thursday. I wanted to get them in 3D, but 3D was only available for Friday at 9, and I know that there's a work schedule conflict with my wife, and so I knew that I would have to make it Thursday if I wanted to see the movie.
See, I'm not big on the 3D. I'm very much an old-school movie person. Mm-hmm. I don't even have to be in, like, our co-host on Real Rayo, Frank, he had to get him in the Cinemark XD. Even that, I can go over here to Tinseltown. This is a little small theater near where we record at.
Yeah.
And it's like $5. It's a crappy theater, but it's decent enough. And that's just me. I'm an old schooler. If the film can't stand on its own in just a simple theater, I don't need the gimmicks. That's just me.
That's true.
I don't need the 3D. I'm very much like that. I don't have a huge TV at home. I'm good on my 46-inch. If I'm really into a movie, I can sit and watch it. You know, and I'm kind of old-fashioned like that, you know?
That makes sense. I never thought of it that way.
And because I feel if a movie needs gimmicks to get by, then is it really that well good of a film? And that's just me. Because, like, you know, let's talk James Cameron's Avatar. When everyone saw it, it was 3D. It was really cool. Then you go back and you take the 3D out of Avatar. It's still a remarkably done achievement of film. But it doesn't hold as well without the 3D. Because Avatar very much depends on the 3D to have its effects. We were actually watching Avatar on TV the other day, and it's like the effects already look dated, and it hasn't even been that long. It's like, wow, some of these look really bad. But anyway, this is a Star Wars podcast, not a James Cameron podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be a show one day. What directors would like to see direct a Star Wars movie? James Cameron. You know, that's possible. So that's about it in Star Wars news. Rogue One went on tickets, went on sale. We're expecting an Episode 8 trailer and title here probably in the next few weeks.
Pretty soon. Hopefully airing in front of Rogue One.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, something, a little small teaser or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's go ahead into Rogue One. We're going to give you guys a survival guide to Rogue One, which it's theaters December 16th. We're here releasing this episode a couple weeks before it hits. And first of all, a lot of new characters in this, and the speculation of what happens to them. Chances are they probably, I hate to tell you people are really, it's funny because the internet is like talking about how does this movie end? You know, how are they going to make it just a one shot? Well, we know how it ends. They get the Death Star plans. But chances are none of these guys are surviving this conflict.
No, I doubt
it. You know, and the lead character, of course, is Jyn Erso, who's played by Felicity Jones. And she looks like a, I don't want to say a Rey knockoff, but just someone who was looking for guidance because she's kind of a teenage rebel. And so it looks like they're going to bring her in.
Mm-hmm.
But as we know from the new trailer, there's more to it, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a subplot to this where, you know, her father's actually involved. And we don't know if he's doing it on his own accord or if the Empire... It seems like the Empire is forcing him to do it. But either way, she feels like she has to stop her father and the Empire because, you know, it ties into, her, you know, her own life.
His name is Galen Erso.
Galen
you know,
Erso.
Galen. And Garland,
like
Galen.
Gerlins.
Not Gerlins, grocery store. Galen. His name is Galen Erso, and he is, of course, looks like the engineer behind the Death Star from the looks of the trailers.
Yeah, he put it together.
And then, of course, from the looks of this, looks like Mon Mothma. And, you know, everyone knows that Jimmy Smits is in the film, that, you know, Bail Organa has a brief cameo in it. And it looks like they put together a ragtag band of rebels, and they fly this ship called Rogue One. And we're going to go through the list real quick in case you haven't heard the character names. And obviously, this could be considered a spoiler for some people, but, you know, you're going to see the film anyway. Captain Cassian Andor is played by the really good Spanish actor Diego Luna, who's been in a few films so far, and I really like him so far as an actor. And so he looks like he's kind of a smuggler slash captain of the ship. And he's looks like he's the leader of the crew. Because he's already working for the Rebellion, right?
Right. And Galen Erso. Okay, because I just pulled up the list myself. Because I didn't, you know, I don't know all of them. I know them by faces.
Right.
You know, I know, of course, Forrest Whitaker.
Right. Well, and then Donnie Yen is playing, I don't know if we're saying this right, Chirrut Imwe. You know, he looks like he was a believer in the Force, kind of mysterious character. You know?
Kind of like a Force-sensitive guy
that
can use some of it but can't apply all of it.
Yeah, or maybe he's just a Force follower who believes in the maybe he believes in the faith aspect of it.
Oh, that
that's
be
one
different.
Thing I thought, you know, kind of like the old martial arts films where you had the monks and stuff that had a certain belief in faith.
And he
they
would fill that role
they would
good.
Follow things, but yet they would use their combat skills if they needed to. And I wasn't trying to be like, man, I even you tell he would fit that role, and I feel like I was being Asian racist, and I wasn't.
No
Yeah,
just he's done so many martial arts movies. I mean, he's done a Highlander movie too. I mean, I didn't get to see all that Highlander movie either.
Which Highlander movie did Donnie Yen do? He appeared in Endgame.
Yeah,
that's right, he did have a brief part in it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember that now. And then we have Baze Malbus. His name, and these Star Wars names are hard to freaking say. And he's played by Jiang Nguyen. And he looks like he's like the heavy military guy from the looks of the trailer, you know? Don't screw with me because I'm just going to shoot your ass, kind of, you know?
Pretty much.
And that's kind of what he looks like. And then Bodhi Rook, he's played by Riz Ahmed. And he sounds, again, like another Han Solo-type character to play off Diego Luna's character. Like, they're the smuggler-slash-captain-type guys from the ship.
More ragtag kind of dudes.
And then, of course, they have a droid, which is K-S-2-S-O, played by Alan Tudyk, who was, of course, from Firefly fame, and he's motion captured. And they said it's like, I guess he was a former Imperial droid that they reprogram, is what I've been reading.
That's what it's going to be.
And that's why he has the Imperial symbols on him.
Okay.
You know, so he's their droid, because it's like, you can't have a Star Wars movie without a droid.
No,
heck, you know, even Rey had BB-8. R2-D2, C-3PO, of course, throughout the films, and you have to have a droid. And then we talked about Galen, who's Jen's father, and it looks like he's forced by the Empire to create this evil contraption of a space station. It's not a moon, it's a space station.
It's not a moon, it's a space station.
And then there's a new bad guy. Do you have his name in front of you? Director
Orson Krennic.
Who's played by Ben Mendelsohn, who's a really good actor. People aren't familiar with him. And we don't know what he is yet. Obviously, he works for the Empire. And is he working for the Emperor Vader at this time, it looks like? And is he... What is he a director of? Might be a good question, you know?
Could be just of the overseeing the Death Star.
Right.
Put together.
And, you know, this is a big spoiler territory here, so people may not know this, but... You know, there's some groundbreaking CGI in this film, and it has been confirmed. You know, Grand Moff Tarkin appears in the film towards the end. And they went in, they CGI'd Peter Cushing, apparently. Oh, and wow. Apparently it looks really good. There were rumors that Leia was in it, too, but I've heard they dropped the Leia thing, but it's just Grand Moff Tarkin. So maybe if Krennic fails, that's when Tarkin steps in and be like, you know, I'm going to take over. You know, we'll see. I don't know how it's all going to work. But it seemed like he would have already been a Grand Moff at this point, since A New Hope's only a few months after this film.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see. But he looks like in the role, like, looks just like a really evil dude talking about the power of the battle station and all that. We'll see how he plays into it. I'm kind of excited to see how he, like, that scene where he's walking through the water and his cape is just flowing looks really cool. Like, he's not afraid to get out there on the battlefield and get his hands dirty.
Heck no.
You know?
He wants that.
And then, of course, the big one is Saul Guerrero, people have been talking about, for Forrest Whitaker, who, of course, was actually brought to life in Star Wars The Clone Wars in the episode A War on Two Fronts, and back in 2012. And he actually was with his sister Stella fighting alongside Vader, who was Anakin Skywalker in the show, as they fought in The Clone Wars. And, and what if Saul and Vader come face-to-face in this film, and they remembers him?
That could happen.
You know, will that be an Easter egg for the Clone Wars films? I'm sure through dialogue they can say, he could say, yeah, I remember when you were Anakin or something, you know?
That'd be interesting on how they tie that in.
Yeah.
And to see how much Vader do we even get in this movie? I mean, obviously they brought back the man, James Earl Jones,
to do the voice.
Which, you know, thank God he's still around to do that.
I'm thinking we might get a little more than people let on. I think that... they've done a good job in the trailers really not showing them. Very similar to what Captain America Civil War did. They kept us really not letting us know how much Spider-Man was in it. And I have a feeling that we could get we could get 15 minutes of Vader, kind of like we got 15 minutes of Spider-Man. I really think we could get that. You know, because I think that, obviously the whole film's not going to have Vader in it. I think he's a background character. But I think we'll get a little more than we are being shown in the trailer. I just have a feeling, you know, because he's so popular. You
just
know.
As long as we get more than Wolverine in the Days of Future Past. Yeah, it wasn't very much.
Was that, or you mean Apocalypse?
Apocalypse,
yeah,
sorry.
There was a little scene in it. So I guess you finally watched that, huh?
I did. Yeah. I did. I did like it.
So those are the main characters of Star Wars Rogue One, as they fly the ship that I guess is being called Rogue One from the looks of the trailers.
Yeah.
And they're going to go after the Death Star plans. And obviously, this looks like a war movie set in the Star Wars universe, right? I mean, just from the looks of the trailer, the AT-ATs on the beaches, the stormtroopers storming the beaches, and I guess we're getting another new planet called Scarif in this.
Scarif,
I that's think that's just, what it's called.
Yeah, keep adding planets.
It's funny, yeah, it's funny because, like, in the original trilogy, we basically had about 9 planets or so that we were familiar with, and you and I played Star Wars Galaxies, remember, and we had those same 9 planets you had from the movies, and that's what we went to on Star Wars Galaxies. And now they're adding these new planets through Force Awakens. We have Jakku and Takawanda and all these new planets. Now we're getting another new planet, Rogue One, you know?
Exactly. And it's like, you know, the Outer Rim used to just be the Outer Rim, and now I guess there's planets in the Outer Rim, and there's planets... above the planets that we thought were Dathomir, and it's like, why can't we just deal with the planets that we have now? I don't get it.
But exactly.
It is what it is. I guess they feel like they have to expand, you know, what was there before, expand the actual universe instead of just expanding it by making films.
So, being that Rogue One is a Star Wars movie, what would it be like to be in war in the Star Wars universe?
Oh, heck, if you played a Battlefield, a Battlefront game, you know exactly how it is.
Right. And, like, it would be chaos, laser blasts, explosions everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're going to have some fun with this. We're going to tell you what you might need to survive in war in the Star Wars universe. And when I say some fun with it, we have some jokes of him, but no disrespect at all to anyone who's a real soldier or real war. Because even though we're a podcast and we don't have to be politically correct, that kind of shit people take sensitively.
Oh, yeah.
So we mean no disrespect. Me and Matt have much respect for our armed forces, as anyone that knows us personally knows that. So, yeah. So no disrespect at all. War is a very serious thing, but we're talking a fictional universe here. The Star Wars universe, war just seems like it would be dirty, gritty, lots of traveling because it's space combat, it's space conflict. You might have to go from planet to planet. It would be, who do you trust, who do you not trust? You know, lots of spies and turn your back on people everywhere.
Yeah, it's like, you have a clone watching your back, or you know, you have a real person.
Yeah, I mean, how do you see Star Wars war in the Star Wars universe?
Man, I always died on Battlefront with the lightsaber. So I mean, you got to do the Han Solo thing,
right?
And a lightsaber is better. Blaster, you know.
So yeah, I mean, that's one thing. We made list of what we would bring with us in war, and the first thing I have on there are guns. And yes. When I play like Call of Duties, I love sniping. So I would have with me an E-11 sniper rifle, which is used by the stormtroopers a lot and biker scouts in the games. And then I would have a trusty blaster on my side. And I got to go with Han Solo's DL-44. That would be my two weapons of choice I would take on the field. Did you have any weapons of choice that you would take on the field in Star Wars War?
Oh, heck yeah. I'm in love with the thermal detonator. It's powerful. It scared the heck out of Jabba. Yeah, and
Jabba about shit his slug self.
Heck yeah. And then I figure I'd go with a heavy gun and get that DT-19 heavy blaster rifle that the sand troopers like to use.
Looks like huge. A kick like a mule, though.
Oh, heck yeah. But it's like, it's imposing, you know. I don't think anyone wants to mess with you if you've got a gun that's longer than, you know, longer than a Bantha. And
you were going to say longer than something else there for a minute. I was like, whoa, slow down, man.
And for a sidearm, I think you can use one of those Java, what am I thinking of?
The ion blasters, Jawa's head?
The Jawa's ion blaster. And those things are really small. At least whenever I got like a Jawa toy, it's like, it was really small. I don't think it's that small, but it looks really tiny. And I think you could maybe tuck one in, maybe in your pack, and have like a little one like that. You know, if you have to take down some droids, because there's a lot of machinery, so you might have to, you know, do that.
Right. I also thought if I was in war in Star Wars universe, I'd have to have a jetpack.
Oh, dude! I didn't think about that.
Quickly, you know, jumping back away from let's say someone throws a thermal detonator at you, you hit the button on that bad boy, you fly backwards, get the fuck out of there really quick.
Heck yeah!
You know, that was one I had on there. But you had thermal detonators. I give you props on that because I didn't think about that. But I had jetpack. So those are some weapons you'd have to have in the Star Wars universe. You'd also have to have clothing for different aspects. If it's a sandy world, you might want a Jedi tunic or even a Jawa tunic.
Oh, yeah.
You found some Jawa, it'll keep the sand off you. Because everyone knows deserts sometimes get cold at night, warm in the day. It'll keep you warm, too. Cold weather gear, obviously, because in the Star Wars universe, there's cold planets. We saw that in the Starkiller Base in Force Awakens and in Hoth.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you need some Tauntaun fur.
I wrote down Tauntauns, too.
Yeah, you need Tauntauns not only for traveling, but if worse comes to worse, they might smell bad on the outside, but they'll keep you warm. Yeah. You know? So, you know, it saved Luke. I even wrote down Ewok skin. You know, I mean, hey, if it makes a good warm hat for you or something, or a pair of boots, you know, or even if it's rough land, what about dewback hide boots?
Ooh, dewbacks.
You know, that leather looks like it would make some good boots for rough terrain.
I wonder if that's what the Tungsten Raiders use for their stuff, because it looks like their headgear. I put down their headgear because I know they have goggles and they have skull cap looking thing.
What clothing would you bring with you in war in the Star Wars universe?
Oh, besides, man.
So Tusken gear.
I would want something similar to what Rey has. She's like covered head to toe in like cloth, because it's you know, if you're on, you know, Tatooine,
those sandstorms aren't something to play with.
No, they're not. So you need that. If you do go to Hoth, I was, you know, hey, you just ride that Tauntaun, and if you get cold, and the blizzard just shuts you out, you can just slice that baby open.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put down, like, maybe keep a Sith robe on you just in case, you know, your base gets overrun. And then maybe you could, you know, do a scratchy, screechy little voice and pretend you're the Emperor. Be like, yes.
Well, and that was my next part of clothing was, like, disguises.
Yes.
In a world of Imperials and Rebels and smugglers and spies, it's good to hang on to stuff. You mentioned earlier about, like, Rey, you know, in Force Awakens, you know, realizing the value in things. If you kill a stormtrooper or a TIE fighter pilot, you might want to tuck that suit away if you can, because you never know if you might need to jump throw in a quick disguise.
Oh, yeah. And they look warm.
Yeah.
I mean, they're pilot suits, and you're in space.
Yeah.
And if you think about our astronauts, their suits are insulated. So in the Star Wars universe, it's got to be cold up there, so it'll probably keep you warm, too.
Right.
I mean, Luke was running around in a pilot's uniform on Hoth, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, that might be a good thing to have, hang on to some different types of gear. And, you also want to have an astromech droid if you're in war.
Yes.
I think it's good to have a droid nearby for hiding stuff. Well, if you have sensitive information like Death Star plans,
yeah,
you know, the location of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, yeah. You might want to have a server or a droid with a server, preferably an R2 droid. Those seem to be the best at hiding information,
right,
from track record. And I guess there's not too many more other types of droids. I just know there's R2 units, and then there's an R4 unit, but those are the ones that's the one that had the bad motivator.
Right, right.
And
yeah,
it just went
so you don't
flame,
want that.
So you don't want that, yeah.
You know, along with a droid to hide things and disguises, this isn't really something you bring with you to war, but in the Star Wars universe, I feel that you really want to have, what's the word I'm looking for here? You want to have people in all places.
Ah.
You want to know that smuggler on that planet, Dantooine, if you're going to Dantooine. You might want to know that guy who runs the cantina on Mos Eisley, who might get you those papers you need to get through some Imperial entanglements. You might want to know that girl over there that normally only sells death sticks, but she might have information as to who you're looking for on the Imperial side or the Rebel side.
Oh, yeah. Sanctuaries.
If you're on the Imperial side, you want to know who that Rebel sympathizer is? Maybe she knows. So it's good, I think, to know people in the Star Wars universe in war.
That's a good point. I didn't even have anything like that.
I mean, even in real war, the Americans had people in Germany that were sympathizers because they didn't like Hitler and things like that to help the Americans out. So why would they not have that in the Star Wars universe?
Yeah,
you're going to want people. We see in Force Awakens, Han knows he can trust Maz, so he goes to her castle. You know, what else did we see in the Star Wars universe? I know there's been Han goes to Lando in Empire Strikes Back. You know, maybe Lando tried to betray him, but hey, Han knew people, you know, in places he needed to know. And Han was a smuggler, so of course he knew places to hide and people everywhere.
And then you have Jabba, who just doesn't care who you are.
Right.
It's like you could go there, but you might just find yourself in the same kind of situation.
And then, when you're on the road and traveling a lot, you might be in the battlefield. You want to bring food with you.
Yes.
And what do you have? What kind of food would you take with you in the Star Wars universe?
I did have down Bantha tacos.
Bantha tacos.
I figure, you know, they look like they would make good tacos. I mean, they're big. I mean, you probably have to shave them down a bit. But I think you could, you know, definitely make the effort to, you know,
well,
bring with you some tacos.
That's funny because I put Bantha jerky. So I figured you could dry their meat out too and make jerky out of it.
Yeah, jerky would probably last longer too.
Yeah. So you think besides Bantha tacos?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got Jawa sausage. I figure those things got to be good for something else.
Do we even know if Jawa's a human or not, or what's under there? How do we know they are good for sausage?
Kind of looks like that wizard from He-Man, Masters of the Universe.
A little bit. You're Orko.
Orko, yeah. I put down wombat. You figure wombat could
might have
something.
Some meat on it. Could be like a chicken.
Yeah, like a chicken.
Yeah,
like wombat legs or something like that. I had down some Danoga noodles. You know, so I mean, we saw that thing in the trash heap. So it's like I think maybe you could run that thing through like a cheese grater and make like noodles out of it or something. And then Rancor ribeyes. I think there's not too many Rancors.
He looked tough with his, and I'm doing a visual thing here, but he had ribs, like there'd be some steaks and meat in there.
It got to be. I don't know how you'd find a lot that are dead. I mean, other than the one that's, at the bottom of Jabba's palace.
Right.
But,
well, according to video game lore, there's a whole planet, Dathomir, that has all these Rancors on it, even though we never got to see that in the movies or anything. Mm-hmm. There might have been a Clone Wars episode. Yeah, there were Clone Wars episodes where they went to Dathomir. But I can't remember if they had Rancors on them or not.
I can't remember.
And I know
either.
In the video game Force Unleashed, there's a planet where you fight Rancors.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Yeah, I've got a mess of them.
I had blue milk on there. I mean, Aunt Beru gave Luke blue milk, so I figured you might want to take blue milk with you.
It's got to be good. Protein?
Yeah.
Milk has protein in it.
And I don't know if it came from the Banthas or not. Maybe the Banthas had milk, but the blue milk. I only had two things. I didn't do very good on the food thing.
You did really good. Thanks. I put down Sarlacc juice because I figured there's got to be some juice at the bottom of that pit.
How do you get it out?
You got to siphon it, man. You got to throw a garden hose down there.
All the way, 100 feet away from the edge of it so tentacles don't get you?
Yeah. or maybe if you knew a Jedi, he could use the Force to lift it out and maybe just make it go into your cup. Some Sarlacc juice. I don't know if it tastes good. It's probably horrible because it's got just little bits of people floating in there.
Yeah, Boba Fett's and Weakways and everything else that fell into it during Return of the Jedi. And so anything else on your food list?
No, I don't. That's what I thought about, all the good stuff. I was going to write down the other W.
Wampas?
Wampa burger.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to put down Wampa burger.
I could see the Wampa making some good burgers.
Because I said, those things are so pesky. It's like, you might as well just put them on a pit, make something out of them.
And another thing we talked about knowing who in the Star Wars universe, because you might need paper somewhere else. There's all certain kinds. You might want to know how to fly almost anything you can fly in the Star Wars universe.
Yes.
Because how many times it seemed like they're in a tight situation, you need to get out of there quick. If you need to know how to jump on a speeder bike and go, you better learn how to ride a speeder bike. If you need to fly a Corellian freighter, an X-Wing fighter, an A-Wing, a TIE fighter, as we saw in Force Awakens, Poe could pretty much fly anything.
Oh, yeah.
That might not be a bad skill to have in war in Star Wars, because it seemed like Poe was pretty crafty with a weapon as much as he was a spacecraft.
Yeah, and Rey looked like she could fly anything.
Yeah.
I mean, she had and that's another thing about Rey. Rey taught us, some survival techniques. If you're stranded, or if you're by yourself, you end up by yourself. Whenever you're rummaging for stuff, you don't keep everything. You travel light, and she repurposed everything that she could.
Right.
She used, of course, I mentioned earlier, she used fabric as sunblock. She covered herself from head to toe. She worked smart, not hard. She had a line of travel to her destination where she could turn in stuff and get rations, or portions for it.
Right.
And,
one quarter portion.
And she never let anything go to waste. You see her just licking her plate. So it's like, get all that, don't let any food go to waste when you're out there.
Right. And, yeah, that's a good point. So in scavenge, like you said, anything, might work. Not that Rey was at war, but she still taught us some things about how you could survive in this universe. And, here's a we were talking, Brian, you're getting two shouts on the show. We were talking, he asked a question. If you were given a red pill and go to the Star Wars universe, or given a blue pill and bring one Star Wars character to the real world, what would you do?
Ooh, man. That's a tough one.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly. It's like, what would you do? But I would imagine it's a lot easier to go to the Star Wars universe and fit in pretty quickly than to bring someone here who has no idea what's going on. Like, Han Solo can't just shoot people first in this universe.
No, you can't.
Like, yes, that was a Greedo shot, didn't shoot first reference. Or we always know Han shot first. You couldn't do that here, So it might be a little harder for him to adjust to our real world,
Man, I would take Yoda. I would take Yoda.
Yeah.
Because then he could teach you the Force, hopefully.
And he could get any chick to do what they want for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would do that for you. But it's like, maybe if... I think Yoda, maybe if you got him, high or something, I think he would be, super chill. Yeah, and just do whatever.
Do the life of the party.
Heck yeah.
Smoking dope Yoda.
Yeah.
Wow. So, anything else on surviving war in the Star Wars universe and survival of Rogue One that Man. you had? I gave everything I had.
Yeah, be armed, have a full stomach, have rations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good clothing for all different environments.
Oh, yeah. And you then keep all that stuff that you see, the abandoned gear that's left. Maybe some dead TIE fighters. You need to pull them out of the suits, use that, store it, whatever.
Right.
Do what you got to do.
Yeah. So we hope that helps you get prepared for Star Wars Rogue One or Rogue One, a Star Wars story. I just like calling it Star Wars Rogue One. When it hits theaters on December 16th. And what are your expectations for this film as a Star Wars fan? I'm just curious. You know,
if I were like maybe like if we did this like on a scale to, you know, what are you expecting this movie to be sort of like? I would say I will be happy if it runs around the same entertainment as, you know, Episode 4. You know, a good solid movie.
Right.
Nothing really flashy. You learn a lot from it, and it answers some questions for you. That would be cool. I would be satisfied with that.
I think that's how I feel, too. I don't expect it to be as good as Empire Strikes Back or The Force Awakens. And yes, people, I put The Force Awakens up there as one of my higher Star Wars movies. But if it entertains me for two solid hours like A New Hope or even Return of the Jedi, I think I have the same expectations. I maybe learn a few small pieces, how we get the Death Star plans and things here. Get to see some old characters again, like Mon Mothma and Bail Organa and Tarkin. And I think that's kind of, and Vader, of course.
Vader.
I think that's my expectations lie too. And I'm okay with just having a little bit of Vader in it. You know, if we get 10, 15 minutes, I'm cool with that. You know, and I think someone made a good point, like that complained about they don't like the prequels, you know, as prequels are, as we know, are not well loved. And they said, well, I hope it wipes the taste out of the Darth Vader we got in the prequels. I'm like, how can you say that? And Darth Vader's in the prequels for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well,
technically he was called Darth Vader when he slays all the kids and fights Obi-Wan and all that. But the true Darth Vader we know in the suits and at the end of the film.
Yeah.
What bad taste.
And it's like, if you took it as Darth Vader from whenever he, you know, was pronounced as Darth Vader, whenever he was sired or whatever you want to call it, initiated, I don't think that was a horrible Vader to get.
No.
From then on. I mean, if you're counting from, like, you know, Clone Wars or, you know, or Jake or Jake's character, Jake Lloyd. Then, yeah, you have an argument, I think.
Right.
But, you know, Revenge of the Sith is respectable,
yeah,
I think, overall.
And I want another, not really an expectation, but I want Rogue One to play entertainingly enough that I don't know what to expect from these standalone Star Wars films, and I wanted to give me an idea when I walk out of theater, like, okay, that was cool. I'm excited about Han Solo now. And whether it's a Boba Fett, Bounty Hunter, Obi-Wan movie, whatever they do for the third film,
yeah,
I want to be excited for it. Because I think with Rogue One, when I first heard this idea, I wasn't that excited. I'm like, do we really need these? I don't want it to be oversaturation. I don't want Star Wars to become Star Trek or James Bond or something where it's just so much of a franchise it's hard to enjoy all of it.
Yeah.
That's where I think my expectation is entertainment, leave the high quality that we've come to expect from the Star Wars universe, and to the point that we're not oversaturated and it's not too much over the next few years. Because even Star Wars
that.
Too much can be a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's my expectations of Rogue One. Be entertaining and make me look forward to their standalone films.
Yeah, I remember you saying, you know, I hope this isn't too much Star Wars, like, you know, oversaturation, and, you know, how many of these movies are we going to get? But yeah, this movie does have to be at least, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to, you know, like you said, blow you out of the water, but it's got to be entertaining.
Right.
Because the rest of these anthology films depend on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I agree. I think that Disney can say all they want about, oh, we've got plans for years. I think Rogue One will be a huge hit money-wise. It's not going to be Force Awakens hit. But if it, let's say it has a huge opening weekend of $140 million because all the Star Wars fans are going to go see it, but it's not, doesn't get the word of mouth that Force Awakens has, it'll drop off quick because the general movie audiences depend on word of mouth. They depend on critics. They're not the diehards. So you're right. Rogue One has to play at least, it needs to at least be a decent film, a B or higher.
Yeah.
If it gets a C or a D and the critics are going to trash it, it's You're going to have a huge weekend, and then it might top off at $300 million. And it's sad to say that we might say $300 million is not a hit for a film, because $300 million is a lot. But in the Star Wars universe, $300 million is a low hit.
Yeah.
I don't think Rogue One will play $900 million like Force Awakens, but there's no reason that Rogue One shouldn't be huge enough to beat Civil War's number one movie of the year. Should be able to do more than $400 million. Actually, I think Finding Dory's number one this year right now. I think it passed up Captain America. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently saw Finding Dory. That's why I didn't really think about it, because I didn't see it in theaters.
It's always the kids' movie.
Yeah. So I think it actually is number one. So yeah, it's our expectations for Rogue One. And I think that's a good way to leave it, with Rogue One in theaters in a couple weeks. And we should have an episode out right before Rogue One.
For sure.
We're going to take a look back at The Force Awakens a year later, I believe is going to be our next episode, subject to change.
Yeah.
You know, and again, though, thank you for listening. Go to TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. That's the site you can find us. You can follow our RSS feed there on iTunes and Stitcher for Android users. You can find us on SoundCloud now. We are hosted by Podbean, so if you have the Podbean app, you can find the Trust Me on Jedi Radio Network and Rebel Radio and the Remnants of the Rebellion there as well. So plenty of ways to listen to us, and when we post on Facebook or anything, we appreciate if you could share the posts and like them, and just to help get the word about Remnants of the Rebellion out there. And that's all I've got. Matt, you want to take us out? This has been Mark.
This has been Matt. May the Force be with you, always.